Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, and my computer's not cooperating. What the heck day is it? Man, the days just all run together. This is what, the 27th? December 7th, I mean. Oh, it's D-Day. December 7th, I forgot about that. That's right. December 7th, D-Day. You think I'm crazy where I'm like the 27th? Let me tell you why I'm throwing out weird numbers. I'm looking at timestamps on audio files to make sure I give Lizzie the right timestamps. It's so... I'm in the 20s because I'm telling her to go to 23 and this and that. And then I'm trying to do dates and I'm trying to do times. And that's why it sounds all crazy. Look, I understand it's the 7th. I understand it's D-Day. I understand we need to pray for anybody who served back in the day. We love those who serve America. But really, this debate last night, the fourth debate, was about war. And everybody's super war hawkish except for Vivek Ramaswamy. And literally, believe it or not, Nikki Haley just finished and said, oh, yeah, we got to do this and this and this and this. And that's what Joe Biden's doing. So now Nikki Haley really backing Joe Biden. I kid you not. And Vivek responds to that. Now, before we get there, our guest this hour is Mary Toko. And Mary Toko is an expert on vaccines, on health issues. And that's what we really should be talking to her about. And we will, and we'll continue to do as she joins us month after month on the radio. But sometimes when things kind of break or critical issues happen, then it's important to get Mary's take on them, too, because she's an international speaker. And, yes, she's knowledgeable about health issues, but she's also knowledgeable about politics and things in general as well that I think is really kind of important to note. But so here's Vivek's response when Nikki Haley backs war, hawkish promotes war. I'm against war, by the way. I don't think we need to be in all these countries around the world and spend all this money on foreign aid and be in wars everywhere. Let's be the light on a hill. Let's be the Jesus Christ, follow the Prince of Peace, set the standard, and avoid foreign entanglements like the Founding Fathers stood for. That's my view. George Washington, Ron Paul-esque foreign policy. Nevertheless, Vivek really advocates for that, but Nikki Haley doubles down on war. And then, believe it or not, in the end of her statement, literally backs Joe Biden. Are you kidding me right now? Here's Vivek's response.
I want to say one thing about the tie to Ukraine, if I may. So foreign policy experience is not the same as foreign policy wisdom. I want everybody at home to note that I was the first person to say we need a reasonable peace deal in Ukraine. Now a lot of the neocons are quietly coming along to that position, with the exceptions of Nikki Haley and Joe Biden, who still support this, what I believe is pointless war in Ukraine. And I think those with foreign policy experience, one thing that Joe Biden and Nikki Haley have in common is that neither of them could even state for you three provinces in eastern Ukraine that they want to send our troops to actually fight for. Look at that. This is what I want people to understand. These people have, I mean, she has no idea what the hell the names of those provinces are, but she wants to send our sons and daughters and our troops and our military equipment to go fight it. So reject this myth that they've been selling you, that somebody had a cup of coffee, stint at the UN, and then makes $8 million after, has real foreign policy experience. It takes an outsider to see this through. Look at the blank expression. She doesn't know the names of the provinces that she wants to actually fight for. And there's her puppet masters right there, the donors right there that are playing her like the puppet
masters.
Hold on. Let me just say something here. You know, his reasonable peace deal in Ukraine, he made it clear. Give them all the land they've already stolen. Promise Putin you'll never put Ukraine in Russia. And then trust Putin not to have a relationship with China. Let me tell you something. That's no
That's
reasonable.
That's not my deal. That's not my deal,
yes,
Chris.
It's exactly what
you
said.
Describe
you
my
do
deal
this
too.
At every debate.
Don't interrupt me.
Okay? You
tell
say this.
About how
you
want
do this.
Kids
at,
to die.
You do this at every debate. You go out on the stump and you say something. All of us see it on video. We confront you on the debate stage. You say you didn't say it, and then you back away. And I want to
say
what?
Exactly no, what I said, Chris.
I'm not done yet.
Well, this
now
is.
Now look.
Hold this on. Is. And here's the thing. This man is spewing. This man is spewing nonsense.
Let me tell you something. This is the fourth debate. The fourth debate that you would be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America. So shut up for a little while.
I'm going to respond to that.
I'll take that.
I want to say something else. We're now 25 minutes into this debate, and he has insulted Nikki Haley's basic intelligence, not her positions.
Go ahead and pause. I want you to start out there, Mary Toko. This is an example where Chris Christie literally assaults Vivek Ramaswamy, claiming that he said stuff. He doesn't get the chance to respond by these. And now, remember, this fourth debate is supposed to be the new media taking center stage discussion. All right? And if I set up a debate, I'd set up completely different rules, and I'll tell you what that'd be in a minute. But look, this is absolute insanity. All Vivek's saying is, look, this experience has got us into nothing but war after war after war, spending billions, trillions of dollars, and the wars aren't even close to stopping. We've got to stop going to war everywhere. That's his general point. And then they assault him, pretending they have experience. All their experience has done is got us into endless war. Mary, your response.
Well, this is like a bee's nest of crazy. First of all, Nikki Haley does not have what it takes to make these decisions. I clearly know that. And like he said in an earlier part that, you know, she came into politics, fell into politics.
Now, by the way, came you in clearly kind know of a, that because what? You're from the state she was governor of, right?
Yes, South Carolina.
So I bring that up on purpose.
Yes, she falls into politics and she comes out of it multimillionaire. You know, these people, it's like they get in for the power and the money and they really don't give a damn about who they're hurting, how they're hurting us, how they're costing our lives and costing us money. It's like, you know, as long as they're printing it, it doesn't matter. Vivek is pretty intelligent, I will tell you. I've heard him, many little short takes of him. He's a pretty intelligent guy. And he seems to have a handle on a lot more of what's going on outside the country than most of these people do. But I think that he made some really good points. I think it's come to where who can insult whoever the best. It's really quite a shame. I see no respect shown on. Now, I don't think Vivek was disrespectful. He was truthful in that she doesn't have the experience and the knowledge. And the fact that she probably doesn't know the different parts of these countries where she wants to send our troops. He was probably very right about that. I would have loved to have heard her response to that personally. But I think it's hard to even watch. It's like the crowd is going crazy. The crazier they get, the more the crowd gets crazy. It's like encouraging this divisional, insulting type of a debate. That's not what we want to hear.
Now, Nikki's response would be, hey, I've been UN ambassador. I understand this better than anybody does. Although it's interesting when he says she can't name three provinces, you would think that she would stop him and name them right now and prove him wrong.
Right.
But she doesn't.
Didn't. Mm-mm.
But she didn't, but she doesn't. So Vivek's right on this point. My point is, and Vivek is right about this, and so is Donald Trump, we need to take care of America first. We're broke as could be. We're $33 trillion in debt, Mary, and we think we can just fund around the world. Look, Joe just forgave a ton of student loan money without authority. Joe just literally sent a bunch of money to Hamas. Joe just sent a bunch of money to Israel. You know, everybody wants to blame Joe, but I blame Congress, Mary.
I think he is just a puppet. I do believe it's Congress. I'm disgusted with the whole thing. I think that our government has gone completely rogue. They don't really care about what's going on. Of course, you do have a few individuals who are in there fighting the good fight, but like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others. But it's very sad to see how far we have slipped down this slope of what we want doesn't matter. It's like the American dream doesn't matter to these people who are in power and are fighting to keep their position in politics. And it's really quite sad. Sam, we need to pray. We need to pray. And again, I am a Trump supporter. He's not a perfect man. But that man is the one who stood up and said, the day I get into office, this war will be done. No one else has said that.
Where do we go from here? They're going to talk about war. They're going to talk about the economy. But no one's talking about the Constitution and bringing us back to common sense. No one's talking about putting America first, really, that I could see. Vivek is to some degree, way more than the others, But no one's really talking about the way I would. So, for example, they shift from the mainstream debates now to this debate, and then they say, well, this might be the last Republican debate. The Democrats have called off debates altogether. So you're not going to really hear a lot for these candidates except for media spin. I would hold an entirely different debate with different rules, Mary.
Describe what that would look like and feel like, you know?
Well, first of all, I don't think that we ought to have networks, media moguls, decide who's in the debate. Why can't the people vote on a website and prioritize who they want to hear from? And we'll take the top, how many ever people we can reasonably, you know, put on the stage, you know, maybe up to 10 people. I don't think you can really handle more than that. Why don't we let the debate go for more than 2 hours? Why don't we get rid of sponsors for the debate? Because we don't really need to just have the networks making a ton of money. So forget all the commercials for sponsors. Right now I'm arrowing through a commercial so that I can get back to the debate, right? Okay, and let's just basically let the people decide, who do you want to hear from? And they can be, yes, we're skipping the break. They can be a Republican, they can be a Democrat, they can be an independent. See, I've never heard a single word from RFK Jr. I've never heard a single word from, say, Kanye West, who may or may not be running at this point this time. I've never heard a single word from a lot of these people that I'd like to hear from. Why not let the people decide who we want to hear from? That's number one. What do you think?
I think that's great. And like you say, JF, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr., they won't give him the platform. It's as though they're trying to just keep him out of the media, off the stage. And it would have been wonderful to hear his take on that question, about sending our troops out, because I think he has a completely refreshing look at all of this. I really think he does from what I've listened to and what I can tell. I'd love to see him up there talking to Vivek. My gosh, what a concept.
So, number one, I'd like to see who the American people would want to debate. Now they're back to the debate. It's 33:42 in, so we're almost 34 minutes into the thing, and I've heard a bunch of commercials. I've heard a bunch of arguing. I've heard the moderators really not ask honest questions about policy and solution and who you are and what you stand for. I've heard them literally come up with questions like this. And I'll give you an example to make the point. I'm going to pick on Sam Bushman, because I don't want to pick on anybody else, right? But if I was in the debate, mm-hmm. They'd be, hey, Sam Bushman, you've been a talk show host forever. You have no policy experience in government whatsoever. You've never been elected. You say crazy things on the radio about vaccines, about wars, about money, about the Federal Reserve, about government schools, about, you know, all these things. And I mean, it's a joke that you're even on the stage. I'm surprised enough Americans even gave you the chance to be here. But based on our rules, somehow you kind of, I don't know, you played limbo out there in the clown show carnival, and you were able to do the back bend well enough to make it under the bar, and now you're here. And Sam, why should we even listen to you? Okay, it's that kind of assault that they've literally given every one of them.
It's pathetic. That's for sure.
Think about
it's like
that
they want
for a
to,
minute.
They want the drama. They want to hear the drama. They want to see the infighting. They want to see the crowd go crazy. It's almost like they're encouraging disrespect.
And that's what they want. They want divide. They want controversy. They want the Jerry Springer debates.
There you go. Yep.
I don't want the Jerry Springer debates. Let me tell you what I want. I want the American people to decide who we're going to hear from, first of all. Why? Because we're the ones that are going to vote for them. So I don't want to hear from people that I'm not going to vote for. Okay? Same with everybody else in America. You don't want to hear from people that you're not going to vote for. People that you might consider voting for are people that you want to hear from to determine, hey, do they really increase my willingness to vote for them? Or do they fall out of the mix in terms of if I'm willing to vote for them? And I'm telling you right now, I'm not willing to vote for Chris Christie. Nobody in America is. He runs at like 2 or 3%. I bet if I got in the race, I could garner those kind of numbers if you gave me a chance to speak for myself. All right? He has nothing. Mm-hmm. He's a nobody. I don't mean to be rude. I know he's a governor, but I'm just telling you, he's been in government forever. He pretended Trump was incredible. Now he acts like Trump's the enemy of the world. He acts like Trump's worse than Biden. The guy's a flip-flopping goofball with no experience and no credibility and no ratings whatsoever, but he's somehow on the stage because he's got a lot of money and he can somehow buy votes, buy whatever. Okay, I don't want to hear from that guy. Nikki Haley, this gal was a destructive governor, big time of Carolina. She then moved on to the UN, promoted war her whole time. She's hawkish as all get out. She doesn't stand with the Republican platform at all. Okay, and so you look at those two, you take them off the table. Now you got Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy. They disagree the least, Mary.
Right. Well, you got to know DeSantis. He did a pretty good job down in Florida. I think he impressed a lot of people. He definitely got my attention. And so and the thing I'm concerned about Vivek is where he went to school. I do not have a lot of faith or confidence in anyone who comes out of Harvard. I mean, I think it's one of the most liberal communistic colleges in the country. And I know people think it's the best school on earth to come from, and that if you come from that school, you know you're great, whatever. I'm very concerned that he's been groomed. Personally, that's my opinion. I think he's been groomed.
You're entitled to that opinion. And I think you're right about that. I think he's been groomed. However, and this is the kind of the point that I think we need to make, who do we have, and this is really the important question, who do we have that could possibly be president? And out of that group, who would you pick? Because look, let's say you say Sam Bushman's incredible and he should be president. I don't stand a chance on this green earth.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, so I'm not a bad guy. I might be actually quite intelligent. I don't have any experience like they have, except for I'm a student of the Founding Fathers, which gives me a lot more experience than they give me credit for. I'm not even running, but my point is, who literally is on the stage, and I don't mean just the debate stage, I mean the national stage, who could literally possibly have a prayer of, number one, getting on enough ballots to win, because they've rigged it all against us. Who do we have as our choices is the point, and who could we pick among those choices? And as far as I can tell, there's three people that I would even possibly consider: Vivek, Donald, and Ron DeSantis. Not necessarily in that order either. I like RFK Jr., but he comes from too big of an insider family. That worries me more than the school Vivek went to. So I get your point. I don't disagree a bit, but who do we have to choose from?
See, I know Robert Kennedy Jr. more on a... I'm not going to say personal because that means really personal. I've been at conferences with him over the years, and I have had a chance to talk to him. He's actually, I've given my whole DVD series on the dangers of vaccines. I knew him back in the 90s when he was all about the mercury in the shots, and he was part of this group.
And he's right as rain.
Yes, but I've watched him come from, it's just about the mercury, get the mercury out. Which is what I was saying all along, is like, no, it's not just about the mercury. Yes, the mercury is bad, but it's not just about the mercury. The whole system is flawed and based on outdated science. It's archaic, and it's designed to suppress our immune system and hurt.
Well,
it's not
on outdated science, or it's on destructive science. I'm not quite sure which. When you think about the eugenics movement, I'm not sure if it's outdated or if it's the most up-to-date but flawed you can get. It's hard for me to debate that, but I get your point.
Well, the original vaccines were based on outdated information. The new ones are coming up with now, that's bioengineered in labs. We got two different animals there, okay? So for years, I was saying to him and his group, you guys, it's not just about the mercury. They reduced the mercury and they increased the aluminum. Now what are you going to say? You know? So I've watched him come completely 180. I love it. I guess I've been around a long time,
and
Sam.
By the way, I commend him for it. And I
absolutely
like it, and I like a lot of what he has to say. There's a few things that he has to think and do and focus on that scare me a lot. I like what he has to say. Part of the problem with him, though, too, is his delivery doesn't come across well.
Well, that's because, you know,
and it's
not
his fault.
I've heard him.
It.
Do you know he says in public at conferences that that happened right after a flu shot?
Right.
Okay.
And I went
he's injured.
I went to Freedom Fest.
Okay.
And he was the main speaker at Freedom Fest, and I heard him speak there. He's very intelligent. There's no debate about it. He's very caught up on the real issues. There's no debate about it. He's not an insider. The Republic or the Democratic Party just shunned him to the point where they committed election fraud to just prevent a primary and prevent him from even speaking. That's why he went independent. I get it all, but that's kind of my point is, now as an independent, does he have a real chance? He might have a real chance to change who gets elected, just like Ross Perot did back in the day. But I don't see, unless we can get a real companion for him that makes sense, that a third party has a prayer on this earth. Not because Americans wouldn't vote for a third party, but because the two clown show parties have put so many laws and manipulations and requirements in place that you can't get a foothold.
See, and again, this is where I can kind of give my opinion, right? I'm just giving you my opinion. I believe, and this is just me, that he... And again, I hate to say this, but I don't think he ever knew that he could win or intended to win. I think the way to get this vaccine topic and all the other topics he's passionate about on the forefront was to run, because he wasn't getting it any other way. You remember when Donald got into office?
That's a valuable
point. And he immediately, within a week, I think it was, he said, I'm appointing Robert Kennedy Jr. to be ahead of a vaccine research task force. And I was like, yes, thank God, my president is coming through, you know, he's doing it. And then it disappeared. It got squelched as soon as Donald mentioned it. And all of us out here in the background are going, yes, yes, it disappeared. And no one heard another word about it. And I know it's because Donald got pressure from the inside, and it all
like
went
and
away.
Crew, clown show.
Exactly.
Criminals.
So I think, and again, I've been at many conferences with him, and I know that his whole family has completely ostracized him. They want nothing to do with him because of his stand against vaccines. It's gone beyond. Okay. So I mean, I just feel like he.
And his book is incredible.
Yes. And I felt like he thought, what the only way I'm going to get out there and have a chance at waking the American people in the world, really, is by running for president. I might get the coverage I don't get now. And you know, it worked. It worked. And now, gosh, I watch his videos all the time, his shorts. I'm getting them all the time. And he is brilliant. Do I think he's presidential material? No. I think Donald is the only one I have seen so far that is presidential material that can handle this mess.
Now, I think it's possible for a Donald to take an RFK Jr. And put him in his cabinet and or make him VP. I think the guy's brilliant. I just think the delivery is a problem. It's like Ron Paul. Ron Paul, in my opinion, was incredible. But Ron Paul was not the super communicator. Let's be clear. He was not the charismatic leader. Now, he was right on everything. I shouldn't say everything.
I agree.
He was right on almost everything. But the problem is you got the delivery. It's kind of like putting me on the campaign stage. I might be a great guy and I might be a great speaker, but as a blind person, I cannot look in the camera and connect with you well enough in a way that you would need to do and need to be as president. And I'm being honest about that. Okay. And so I bring it up not to attack Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I bring it up because we got to know reality and we got to realize what America will accept. Right now, and they're here to expose. Look, they canceled the primary so Robert wouldn't have a chance. Now he went independent, and I commend him. I want to see who he'll pick as his running mate. Now, I've also reached out to have him on the radio, and it's hard to get in touch with these people, Mary.
I know. He's incredibly popular right now, you know, all around. But you know what? I also thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if he was chosen to be VP? I mean, I know that I believe that's happened once. One time in history of our country, I think one time from what I was able to gather, that a Republican picked a Democratic or whatever, independent VP. And I thought to myself, this would be the most amazing move on Donald Trump's part if he would do that. But I think he's going for a female. I just don't feel like he's going to go for Robert Kennedy Jr. I wish he would.
The problem is there's no female on the national stage that I can count on or trust at this point.
Right.
And that's not an attack on a female. There's a lot of females I could choose, but they're like me. They don't stand a prayer. Mary Tocco with us. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Corey Myers. The fourth Republican presidential debate took place last night in Tuscaloosa at the University of Alabama. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley repeatedly clashed in heated exchanges, including plenty of name-calling and personal jabs, like Ramaswamy's response to Haley saying the attack on Israel by Hamas was an attack on the U.S.
But to say that that was an attack on America fails a basic test. I mean, Nick, if you can't tell the difference between where Israel is and the U.S. is on a map, I can have my three-year-old son show you the difference.
Chris Christie did step in to defend Haley from Ramaswamy, calling him an obnoxious blowhard. At least three people were killed, another critically injured after a mass shooting on a college campus.
Students at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas were caught off guard when they started receiving texts about an active shooter on campus.
I peek out the window that I sit next to and you just see students running around and police cars coming by.
That student speaking to Fox 5 Vegas from the school's library, which was locked down. Las Vegas Metro Sheriff Kevin McMahill said the shooter was found dead.
I want to assure the community there's no further threat. We are continuing the investigation here.
It was 6 years ago when the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history happened at an outdoor concert on the Las Vegas Strip. In Las Vegas, I'm John Schaefer.
Former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy announcing he's resigning from Congress at the end of the year. McCarthy's departure follows a historic event where he became the first Speaker of the House to be removed from power during their congressional term. The ousting occurred at the hands of a small faction of conservative Republicans. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
All right, Mary Toko. So then they moved to the border. It's a big old battle on the border and fentanyl and drugs. And I find this fascinating. Drugs are pouring into this country like you wouldn't believe. So are illegals. Really, it was a clown show. They started out with Ron DeSantis, and he said, hey, he would just shoot now, ask questions later, anybody that came across with a backpack that might be full of fentanyl. I understand the problem. I think we need to take the border seriously. There's ways to do it. If you don't believe me, ask North and South Korea and other borders to make the point. It can be done. We're not willing to do it in America is the sad part, neither Republicans or Democrats at all. But here's what Ron DeSantis had to say.
Her China, though, I mean, listen, this is rich because when she was governor of South Carolina, she was the number one ranked governor of bringing the CCP into her state. She wrote a love letter to the Chinese ambassador saying how great a friend China is. You can look at it. We put it on our website, rondesantis.com. There's also a video of her as governor standing in front of a Chinese flag with a Chinese business saying that she now works for them, talking about this Chinese company. So she's been very weak on China. Now, here's the problem. The rhetoric is different, but the one on her donors, these Wall Street liberal donors, they make money in China. They are not going to let her be tough on China, and she will cave to the donors. She will not stand up for you.
15 seconds, Ambassador. Her First of all, he's mad because those Wall Street donors used to support him, and now they support me. The second thing
all right,
is...
stop. So, that, interestingly enough, now they're debating on who's getting money from the communist Chinese nation as they switch from the border to China kind of on the fly. I kind of find that fascinating how they mix these two together. The border fentanyl moves to China, and then who's getting in bed with China the most and who gets the most money from the communists is what we've really turned to in this debate, Mary.
Well, what I find interesting is it sounds like both of them are probably guilty from taking that dirty money. And so now they're shooting arrows at each other. But the border issue was never even really discussed in that whole little segment. It's like, let's just avoid it and let's just attack each other.
First, in the sense that, yeah, we got to do something about the border. And they all kind of made some comments, but they shifted very quickly kind of away from that discussion to others. Now Vivek responds on kind of both topics, if you will. Here it is.
Policies offering false hope to a country racked by addiction.
To the contrary, I don't think it's going to have to come to that if we deal with the actual demand side problem that we also have in this country. I mean, the easy part is talking about how we're going to use our military to secure the border. I will, and I believe that everybody else wants to do the same thing. But the harder part is dealing with the crisis of purpose and meaning, the mental health epidemic raging across this country like wildfire. And there's a reason why after the opioid crisis, you see fentanyl. And even after we get fentanyl, and we are going to be sure to make sure we do it, this one is worse for many reasons. They're illegally lacing it into pharmaceuticals, so it's more dangerous. But we're deluding ourselves. The real false promise here is thinking that we're going to have dealt with that underlying mental health epidemic in this country by just dealing with the demand side of it. But I want to get back to this issue of the root cause, because a lot of these are coming from labs in Wuhan, China, of all places, drug materials that are going to the Mexican drug cartels that they're pumping across that southern border like a modern opium war. I think it is going to take a U.S. president that's going to have a very different conversation with Xi Jinping than what Joe Biden just had in California. I will tell Xi Jinping, you will not only not buy land in this country or donate to universities in this country, U.S. businesses won't expand into the Chinese market until they're playing by the same set of rules. And the same country that's putting fentanyl into illegal pharmaceuticals in Mexico, it's no coincidence, is the exact same country that also unleashed hell on the world with the COVID-19 pandemic. We also have to hold them accountable with every financial lever that we have available.
Thank you. That is
what it actually means to stand with a spine. And you mark my words, if we're willing to stand with the spine, China will absolutely have to fold because they're in a tougher spot than we are. And then we're back to playing by the same set of rules.
Thank you, Mr. Ramaswamy. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead and pause. Mary, everything Vivek said is right up your alley, sister.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And him coming from the pharmaceutical background, he knows probably better than all of them the degree of how addictive and how destructive these drugs that are coming across are. And he also, I think, identifies with the mental health issues unlike anyone else. It's sad to think about how many people have died, how many young people don't even know when they're being exposed to it. I understand now that they're putting it in marijuana. They're able to lace it in so many things. It's really going to affect a whole generation of young people. We're going to lose millions and millions of kids to this. And I think he does have a handle on that. And I was thinking when I was listening to him, thinking, what would Donald do? What would Donald do? I know what he would do. He would shut those borders, secure them, and he would go after every single illegal immigrant in this country, and he'd be getting them out of here. And then I do believe he would be addressing the issues in a really strategic way. And I'd like to know, what is the answer to that? How do you plan on doing that? Because we're crippled, man. Our country's crippled in that area.
It is crippled in that area. But again, I think we have had a plan, the United States in bed with other countries, to hook Americans on drugs, whether they be pharmaceutical at the start. See, this fentanyl. And some of these opioids, you know, they started out by, oh, it's okay because the doctor prescribed it. Then, oh, the doctor is going to pull back because this is a dangerous controlled substance. And now the addicted person goes to the street for the same kind of drugs. They've fueled and created this crisis, Mary.
I know they did. In fact, it hit a family member really hard. I have a daughter-in-law that was in a really serious wreck. It almost killed her. And of course, her doctors put her on opioids, and she was on Oxycontin and oxycodone for years without a back off plan, without a way to get her off this medication. It was never brought up. They just gave her the highest dose they could to get her through it, and it was never brought up. And Sam, you'll like this. It's a quick little, you know, off, just a little story. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, she gave her life to the Lord. She came to my home where I have a daughter who's a chiropractic nurse practitioner, and we have a whole, you know, holistic support system. She got off those drugs in a week and didn't have any negative side effects, and it's been about 4 years by the grace of God. But she's the rarity. Most people go into, in order to address it, they have to go into a rehab for 6 weeks, because we looked into it. Rehab for 6 weeks, no family contact. You are sick as a dog. You're going through the bends. You're going through the shakes. You're going through convulsions. You're going through throwing up. You're sleeping on the bathroom floor. I mean, this is what we were told would happen to her as we got her off these meds. And none of that happened for her. And we just believe God gave her a miracle. But we do have this crisis. Just the opioids alone, not even looking at the fentanyl. We have a whole young generation of people, and well, every age really, that are addicted to this stuff.
Opioids legitimate through doctors and pharmacies and everything else. Fentanyl being brought in from communist China. Both of them huge, huge plagues. It's a debate which one's worse. I get fentanyl kills you faster and in some ways is worse. But the other one has legal backing by your doctor, by your pharmacist, by your making you believe that it's safe and effective. So it's hard to know which one's really worse. One that I know is horrible and going to kill me, that's being illegally laced into things, or one that's backed by my trusted physician with a creed of first do no harm. It's hard for me to know which one's really worse, but they're drugging America. They don't care by hook or by crook.
No, they don't.
And no one's really, even in this debate, no one really talks about this, right?
Right. It's not discussed, not like it needs to be.
So the first rule in the debate is I would decide who the American people want to hear from. The second rule in the debate is this: there will be no responses. Okay?
Okay.
So if I attack you or you attack me, we can attack each other if we want to. It makes us look horrible when we do, because I want it to be about policy. I want it to be about what I would do for America, what you would do for America, how I would fix problems, how you would fix problems. And if I spend my time attacking somebody, that looks negative on me. Now, if we let somebody respond and it's kind of a Jerry Springer show, then it changes the game. But if I attack you and you don't get a respond, or you attack me and I don't get a respond, it makes the attacker look foolish. It really does. And so I would simply say this is not about attacks. No one will respond. I'm begging you not to attack each other. I want to know from you, Canada Day, what you're going to do, not what everybody else has done bad, or why they're bad and you're better, or why they're wrong and you're right, and why. I don't want to hear that. Okay? What I want to know is what you're going to do. And so all my questions would be engineered towards solutions. So Mary, for example, they've got the economy. And 4627 is your next soundbite clip. Get ready. Skip the break. Your next soundbite is 46. Do 4626. Liz, while she's getting that ready, though, it's about the economy. And Vivek's going to respond. But the way they ask the question is, you know, they attack. It's like, oh, the economy's in the doldrums. And if you do this and that on the economy, aren't you going to help the criminals, too? And every question they ask, in my opinion, has this desire to divide, to attack, to what I would come back and say is this. So-and-so candidate, Mary, lay out your economic plan different from where we are today, not different from Biden, not different from Trump. No, okay, I don't want to talk about that. Where we are today as a country, what would you do to improve things? Okay, now that's not attacking anybody. It's not pitting one against another. It's not looking at somebody else as what they've done or how horrible or their policy. It is a clear question related directly to what is Mary going to do for me if I put Mary in office? If Mary elects and represents me, what will Mary do? Now, you can respond to that if you want to, Mary, but and my goal isn't to drag you into the economy. My point is to talk about solutions and issues and principles, not attacks and divisions and people and putting things in a context to where I got to just spend my time defending myself and or tearing somebody else down. Am I crazy?
No, and I think that that's the problem with these debates is it's how they're set up and the agenda behind it. I think the agenda behind it is Jerry Springer moment. That's what they want. They want the people to get all upset. And I also think it's a huge distraction from the real issues. When you ask a nice hard question, like we have a problem at, you know, the border, what are you going to do? And, you know, real direct, we have a fentanyl problem. What is your plan? Do you have a plan? You know, how do you plan to recover this economy? What are you going to do about the increasing inflation? I mean, those are questions that need to be asked. But like you say, I think they want Jerry Springer.
So the way I would respond to the border question is, what would I do on the border? I would sit down with the Mexican leadership and the Mexican military. And I would say to them very clearly, you guys are becoming a conduit. Whether intentionally or not, I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to cause problems. I'm telling you, it's got to stop. And we will use everything at our disposal to stop it. And if you let
Absolutely.
People get through our border and you become a conduit, I'm telling you, we will take hard action to defend our border because we don't know who the criminals are. We don't know who the good guys are. And we're not going to allow our nation to be overrun by criminals and you being a conduit while there's free trade between our countries. I will play hardball with the Mexican government and literally say to them, you need to play ball with us and choose sides to partner with us or not. And once you've made your decision, I will put together my action plan. That's what I would say, Mary.
And Donald Trump tried to do that and did a very good job of getting them to work with him.
Yes, he did. And we had less people crossing the border and less border problems under his leadership. All right, on the economy,
That's right.
Here's Vivek really quick.
Studies. That is wrong. We should not have taxpayers do that. What I'm going to do, though,
right now, finishing.
Is I'm going to get to the root cause of the problem. These student loans are going to be backed by the universities because they need to have an incentive to produce gainful employment for people. They should not be indulging in ideological studies. They should be focusing on things that work. And we're going to take some of this money and we're going to move it to actual vocational training. In Florida, we doubled apprenticeships. We have more truck drivers. These are in-demand skills. Don't let anybody tell you that the only way you can be successful is through a four-year brick and ivy degree. That's one way you can be. It's not the only way. And we're going to fix that problem in the United States of America.
And my comment is you should get rid of government money altogether.
You praise cryptocurrency like Bitcoin as an opt-out from our, quote, broken financial architecture, and you oppose efforts to regulate it. The head of the largest international crypto exchange just pleaded guilty to allowing his platform to launder money for terrorists, including Hamas. You say your cryptocurrency plan will, quote, ensure economic freedom for Americans, end quote. Won't it also ensure economic freedom for fraudsters, criminals, and terrorists?
Look, fraudsters, criminals, and terrorists have been defrauding people for a long time. Our regulations need to catch up with the current moment. The fact that SBF was able to do what he did at FTX shows that whatever they have as the current framework isn't working. And I think it is nothing short of embarrassing that Gary Gensler, the current leader of the SEC, in front of Congress, could not even say whether Ethereum counted as a regulated security or not. And so I think that this is just another example of the administrative state gone too far. Here's the dirty little secret in American politics today. The people who we elect to run the government are not the ones who are even actually that are writing regulations that Congress never gave them the authority to write. And the good news is a U.S. president can absolutely fix that. That takes a U.S. president with a spine. So what I've said is in my administration, by the end of year one, we will have a 75% reduction in the number of federal bureaucrats. We will shut down government agencies that should not exist. We will rescind any regulation that fails the test of West Virginia versus EPA, which is the most important Supreme Court case of our lifetime, that said if Congress didn't delegate that to an administrative agency, then it's unconstitutional. These are seismic changes These are big changes that the next president can deliver without asking Congress for permission or for forgiveness. And I want people to understand that distinction, because people have been sold myths by politicians for a long time, saying, I'm going to work with Congress to do this or that. Much of what you've heard on the stage from the other politicians fit that description. They need Congress. The things that I'm promising you, this is what the leader of the executive branch gets to do under Article 2 of the Constitution.
Thank you, sir.
Cut down the bureaucracy. Well, that is how we grow our economy and put the Federal Reserve in its place. This is part of the crypto discussion.
No, no, no.
90% headcount reduction at the Fed.
You're out of time. But 15 seconds, Governor.
Right, so there you go. Wanted to stop it. So I think he's wrong on the Federal Reserve. I think we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve. It's unconstitutional, not just refine it or deal with it. He's right when he basically says that, we just let the deep state do whatever it wants to. He's a little bit wrong when he says the president just has carte blanche. He doesn't need Congress to do things. There's a lot of mixed stuff in there, Mary.
Yeah, I was thinking, boy, he sounds like a dictator to me. You know, when he says that, you know, you can do this and you can do that, and you got all this power and you can do this. A little bit more like a dictator, a little bit scary. Again, he's coming from Harvard, man, and I'm not so sure I trust where he's always coming from. I think you kind of have to read between the lines of what he says. And I agree with you. G. Edward Griffin exposed how our whole financial system, the dollar, everything going on, the Federal Reserve is all fraudulently put in place. And so I don't have the answers there, but we definitely have to do something, because I'm concerned about digital money big time. Digital
I have the
money
answer.
Coming.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
There's this thing called the supreme law of the land. What we need to do is restore the republic in the tradition of the founding fathers. We need to restore a focus on God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property. And we need to use the supreme law of the land with all the checks and balances that apply, because it worked to create the greatest economic engine the world's ever known. It worked to create more freedom and more peace and more prosperity and more stability for more people in the history of the world than anything else you can point to. And it's got a track record to prove it.
You're right, Sam. You are so, so right about that. I love you and Sheriff Richard Mack. I listen to you guys all the time. And you're right.
Your
you're right. We got to get back.
The principles that made America great can do it again, sister.
Yes, you're right. Boy, we've got to tear a lot down to get there, though, don't we? Have to break
through
a lot. We've
got
to
tear a lot down to get there. We also need to focus on vaccines a little bit. Right now, they've been discredited completely. Nevertheless, they're working to skip the United States, go to the World Health Organization, and take health care and make it a, quote, global discussion where the United States would lose tremendous sovereignty, all on the lies of the vaccine, the shot, the passport, and more. I want to spend the remaining minutes having you update us on that from your perspective.
Well, I am very, very concerned with what's going on with the WHO. First of all, they don't have the authority to do what they're trying to do. Nobody has elected them to be in charge of the world. This is a club of countries that have an agenda. And the agenda is to reduce population, to do it through vaccinations and other means. I am 100% against the World Health Organization and everything it stands for. And I think that as Americans, we have to stand up against this as much as possible, talking to our local representatives, letting them know that we want nothing to do with this. Furthermore, we need to, you know, refuse to do whatever they want us to do that we don't want to do. I talk to more people, Sam, that say, oh, yeah, I took the jab. I had to because my grandson was born. And if I didn't take the jab, I would have had to, you know, I couldn't see my grandson. And my response is, oh, they put the gun to your head, huh? Well, no, you chose to do that. You chose to do that. You took a bioengineered Frankenvirus made in a laboratory in Wuhan with vector products in it that made this virus more susceptible to human beings, animal viruses. You took that so you could see your grandbaby without even thinking that it might kill you or thinking that it might destroy your life. So I'm very, very concerned with what's going on with the World Health Organization. And, you know, I will never be a card-carrying vaccinator. I'd rather die. I'd rather go to prison than to stoop down.
And that's the question that I think we're all going to face. Matthew Staver of Liberty Counsel, my dear friend, is suing the Southern Poverty Law Center on one hand, which is great because we need it. I don't know if you know, but the Southern Poverty Law Center literally submitted a letter that now appears on the congressional record saying Sam Bushman is the nexus of hate, anti-government, and white supremacy in America today. That's on the congressional record now because of the SPLC. Well, anyway, so my buddy Matt Staver is suing the SPLC, not just because of me, but for a lot of reasons. Hopefully, I will become part of that lawsuit. We're working on that now. In the meantime, though, my point to bring this all up is, while that's happening, Matt Staver's keeping an eye on the WHO, and Joe Biden literally is trying to circumvent our sovereignty and let the World Health Organization, with Donald tried to back out of, basically decide all your, meaning you, Mary, Sam, everyone, all of our, the people of the world's health decisions, from forced vaccines, forced abortions, forced sex changes, all the way down the list, Mary.
I know, Sam. You know, I never dreamed in my lifetime that I would see such ludicrous ideas coming to America. I just, you know, you pray and you hope and you work and you do everything you can to wake up people. You do your part, never thinking that this could really be happening to our country. And if we let it happen, folks, we are in trouble. You know, and then of course, every time you turn around, there's a new strain, because they're bioengineering things in labs, and these things have a way of adapting and changing. You now know that there's a new strain, the latest coronavirus strain called EG5. The EG stands for Eris. And by the way, then they named it after an evil goddess. It's the goddess of strife and discord. So it's interesting how they pick the names for these viruses. The Greek goddess of strife and discord. And it's supposedly a descendant of Omicron. It's already a dominant so-called coronavirus subvariant in the country. I don't know about you, but I believe I've already dealt with this. I just got done for 10 days being a little under the weather. All of the traditional things that we go through, which used to be called flus, by the way. You know, the congestion, the stuffy nose, the diarrhea, the fever, the body pain, whatever. These are all the symptoms of this so-called new variant, EG5. And so, and you know they're going to come up with a vaccine for it. If they don't already have it, they probably already have one patented waiting in the background, because that's how they work. They create something, they get a patent on it so that they can reap the millions and billions of dollars off of it, and then it gets introduced somehow. And so the bottom line, people, is this is a spiritual battle. It's not just a physical, you know, economic battle. This is a spiritual battle we need to really, really, really pray against. And we need to be sure that we're always promoting our health and doing everything we can to eat as good as we can, get enough sleep, drink clean water, you know, clean your environment up, and promote your health naturally, because it's up to your body to fight these things. And it's inevitable. We're all going to be exposed to these Franken viruses that are coming out of laboratories that mutate when they get out and they change. And we all have to be equipping our body the very best that we can to overcome them as naturally as possible. So that's what's going on right now.
What to know about the EG5 variant. And by the way, it's EG.5, just so you guys can kind of understand if you want to look it up or learn about it or whatever else. John Hopkins University and everybody else is talking about it. I don't believe these people are trustworthy at all as your go-to people on this thing. Look, folks, this is milder, because what they want to do is create a bad one to see how much they could lock us down. It was a grand experiment. Now that what they want to do is they want to put milder ones so that either one, people will take the vaccine, or two, people will get it and they will slowly but surely change the DNA and RNA and change the brains of the American people. A final word, is that what this is about, Mary?
It really is. I believe it's all about population reduction and control. Every bit of it. The devil's working overtime, as you know. You know, Sam. We need to pray. Continue to pray, folks. God is our only answer, and we're going to go through some stuff. But ultimately, if you know him as your personal savior, you're going to be okay in the end. We win in the end, Sam. That's the comfort is we win in the end.
What to know about the COVID EG5 variant, ladies and gentlemen. Keep an eye on marytoko.com. We'll have you back soon. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
God save America.